And now you're listening to Parkins and Spiegel on 670 to Score.
2-2 from Merriweather. That ball's launched to left field. Way out of here. Sox take the lead.
That was a blast. His 32nd of the year. He's driven in his 66th. The Sox have the lead late. And win, no win, it really doesn't matter. That one was hit a mile.
Bellinger leads at second. Swanson away from first. And the 1-2. Swinging a drive toward right center. Back goes Robert. Back near the stands. That ball is gone. A game-winning home run for Chris Morrell. Can you believe it? Listen to this crowd.
Opening day is tomorrow.
Woo!
And you should go see Bernstein, Holmes, and Rahimi. They're doing their show from 10 to 2 at Wings and Rings on Halstead. The Score and Modelo are bringing the show to Wings and Rings as they get you ready for the White Sox season opener.
Man, that open got me going right there, Tony. That Morrell homer to end Cubs White Sox at Wrigley when he rips off the jersey and then his teammates rip off the undershirt.
Yeah.
That was the best baseball moment of the year.
Yeah. Yeah, it was.
I mean, Cubs fell apart in September. There were other Cubs moments, but that was both teams and both fandoms there. I was fortunate to be in the crowd. That was electric and outrageous.
It was fantastic. It was a great moment. We'll talk to Nico Horner coming up in an hour. Hopefully there are some more moments that are great this year, right? There's the Morrell homer, there's the Talkman catch.
Talkman catch was amazing, but it was on the road, and we were not unified watching it. That one had the in-house electricity.
So this is always a fun exercise. It's more, probably more fun when there are more debates and the two teams are closer, right? We dream of, like, what's the thing that this city has never seen? The Cubs-Sox World Series, both teams being good at the same time. It's a rare treat. Like, I mean, you've been doing this a lot longer than I have in this town, and I mean, I know you've only gotten it a handful of times.
Yeah, and it's, but this is the exercise that leads to, or at least it used to lead to, well, is it Mark Grace or Big Frank? Is it, you know, Derek Lee or Paul Konerko? Is it
Konerko.
Jose Abreu or Anthony Rizzo? Like, who wins that job?
I'll give you Rizzo there.
I don't think so.
Yeah, maybe not.
No.
Yeah.
You know?
Who was nicer to the people in the clubhouse?
There he is.
Abreu.
He's gone now, so I can say it.
Yeah, you can.
So, this year, Luis Robert's an obvious one, right? Luis Robert would be your center fielder.
We need to define the exercise.
Okay.
Because if we're talking about purely starting nine, that's different than this guy could make the Cubs roster. You know what I mean?
As a backup?
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I guess we have time, but...
So let's do the starting nine first.
I don't really want to necessarily do the 26-man roster.
No, but there's a couple of guys who are going to lose battles in this way on the White Sox roster who I'd like to have on the Cubs roster. You know what I mean? So let's...
Yeah, well, yes, there are obviously... Yes, there are players on the White Sox that would make the thing better, but I'd like to do a projected opening day lineup.
Okay.
Like a starting nine.
Okay.
And a five-man pitching rotation.
Okay, let's do that then.
That's 14 spots, and then mm-hmm. we can get into anything beyond that.
Okay.
So I was trying to think about it like...
Center field, Luis Robert over Cody Bellinger?
Yes.
Yes, but I'm tempted to move Bellinger to first.
Different conversation.
Point.
That's fine.
I like that. Like, I like playing around with the tools you have. Shane says, no, you can't do that. But I like that as an exercise. But you're trying to build the best team possible, right? That's
yes.
what we're trying to do here?
Yeah,
all right,
so.
I changed my mind.
Well, no, what's the Bellinger's going to play a ton of first base.
He is.
It's not like a gimmick, like starting Taysom Hill at tight end and then taking his passing points in fantasy football or something. Mm-hmm. Like, this is, it's not a, he's a, how many games do you think Bellinger's going to play at first base? 50?
Yeah, I mean, Bellinger won a gold glove in right field, which is hilarious. And here we are talking about him as gold glove caliber in center and gold glove caliber at first. He's just a damn good baseball player.
Okay.
But I give you Luis Robert in center. Absolutely.
Okay.
Right field.
Seiya.
Seiya Suzuki is your right fielder over the combination of Dominic Fletcher and Kevin Pillar. I think we can agree with that.
I think we can agree with that. I guess.
I mean, Dominic Fletcher has a nice little upside. He's 26. He's going to be 27. Came over from Arizona. But yeah, that's Seiya's spot in right field.
Do we want to do it position by position, or do we want to just say, who's the next White Sox position player that has an argument?
Well, I think we should build it position by position.
I agree. In left field, Andrew Benintendi could play for some teams, but I would still take Ian Happ over Andrew Benintendi.
And obviously Eloy.
Happ walks a ton, you know, and Happ is better defensively than Benintendi.
Definitely, but yeah.
And as a switch.
And can play many more positions than Benintendi can.
If need be.
Yep.
You can put Happ in center if you must. Yeah. So I think it's Happ and Robert and Suzuki around the outfield.
I think that's probably right.
Okay.
Okay.
First base.
First base, we're going Bellinger.
Of course. I can't take Michael Bush over Andrew Vaughn. You'd take Andrew Vaughn in that situation. Even Shane, who doesn't like Andrew Vaughn.
Yeah, not a fan. 2 years ago, I called him the best pure hitter on the team.
He's a sweet swing.
I was wrong about that.
I think 2 years ago I said they should trade him while they still have value.
Yeah, you did.
That looks good.
I remember that. Say a lot of level-headed stuff that makes sense in the moment and later.
I don't know if
I remember Itani also said they have the guy who won the batting title on the team. And
yeah.
That was the peak for Tim Anderson.
Yeah, true.
True, yeah.
Yeah.
But he did win the batting title.
Yeah, you messed that one up, man. Well, idiot.
No. Let him play this year. Let's see how that looks.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Yep.
Inspired by Luis Arraez. They go 1-2 in the National League for batting average.
Nico is our second baseman.
Nico at second base over Nicky Lopez.
Nico v. Nicky.
That's
okay, real
right.
Quick, while we're on the topic of Nico, programming announcement.
Yes.
Nico's going to move back to 525.
Oh, my God.
So we're going to do Nico at 525 today.
He's a diva.
it's so high maintenance.
The bus is leaving a little late,
uh-huh.
And he said, I'll push it if you want me to. I said, dude, this isn't the movie where you drive the bus, where Keanu's
push
on the bus.
The bus?
Also
speed.
1994. That was on the list.
Yes.
Speed. Yeah, this isn't speed,
cans.
Brother.
It was cans.
We'll be safe and push it back to 525.
Wait, was he saying he would move the bus for us?
Yeah, he's pushing the bus.
No, he said it's safe to move it, like the time, but he would try to push it if he could.
Nico's moving
like
a bus?
Okay.
He's so strong this offseason.
So shortstop. Paul DeJong.
Nico at second base. Mm-hmm. Shortstop, Paul DeJong
or
Dansby Swanson.
I'm going to go with Dansby Swanson.
Yeah, that's a good call.
Any objection?
Sure. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Here's where it gets interesting.
Here's where it gets interesting again. Well, yes. I thought
it's more interesting than that.
They play third base on both sides.
They put
him
on a bus.
They put Yoán Moncada on a plane. We all had punchlines.
Not
for that.
Fast enough for some.
It is Yoán Moncada at third base.
I think it is.
It is.
I do too.
And then
you said earlier that you would take Morel's WAR over Moncada's.
So if I can speak for speaking, like we this is assumed health, right? Like, you know what I mean? This is like these guys at their fullest potential, assuming they're healthy. I think Moncada is the better player, does more things, switch hitter, better defender. But you know, but then again, I also would pick Morel to have a better season, higher WAR, but for just building a team just on tools.
Yeah.
I'm going Moncada.
You have to, but I would like to now move Morel to DH where I would probably take him over Eloy.
I wouldn't.
I don't think I would either.
Nope. He's not proven enough. And I know Eloy technically isn't either, but he's done more for longer.
Yeah. I know.
I think you guys are going to be really upset about Chris Morel. I think you really will. Tanny, mark that.
Crazy high strikeout rate. Absolutely. But when he hits it, he hits the bejesus out of it.
When he hits it.
Hey, no, but that continued in spring training. It continued in spring training. Eloy was, you know, healthy last year and didn't produce as much as you'd like for the most part. I hear you, though. If you want Eloy... I understand. Morel could make the bench. Morel will be a hell of a bench bat on this team.
Morel projected 1.7 WAR with 25 home runs at Fangraphs. Eloy projected 1.9 WAR with 29 homers.
Awfully close.
I was ready to like refute that. It's like, oh, we're trying to build a ball club here, because I just thought, I assumed Morel would have a higher WAR, but I guess not. But like, you know, you're trying to build a ball club, trying to win games with tools and traits, and I just like the power, the opposite field power of Eloy. And also Eloy will go up the middle if he needs to.
Yeah, no, Eloy is a much better pure hitter than Morel, without a doubt. And Eloy has tremendous power. I'm disappointed in what has happened. So yeah, no, all right, so Eloy is your DH.
All right, so the team is 3 White Sox and 6 Cubs.
Well, we didn't do catcher yet, right?
Yep, Corey Lee.
Oh, right, yeah, we have not done catcher.
Caro.
Good point. It's a valuable position.
Yeah. No, I think it's Yan Gomes. Martin Maldonado is no longer what Martin Maldonado was, where the soft factors could overcome the 190 batting average.
I'll take Amaya.
Oh, interesting. I was going to just ask before we talk about Amaya, what do you guys feel about Yan Gomes this year? Like, no way he's going to have that good of a year as he did last year. Last year, he was amazing, obviously, and he's a smart, good player, but, like, catchers usually don't profile to age and still produce at that level.
He's always been a good hitter, though. Yeah, Yan Gomes is always profiled as a good hitter. I think he's going to catch less than last year. So I would take both Yan Gomes and Amaya over Martin Maldonado and Max Stassi.
It's not Stassi. It's Corey Lee.
Going to be Corey Lee?
Yeah.
This team has no edge, no leader.
Corey Lee made the opening day roster.
Well, because Stassi's out with the hip injury.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
So Corey Lee made the opening day.
Mm-hmm.
Is that why you said he made the opening day roster?
Carol
Lee. Yeah, all right, cool.
It's interesting.
Just wanted to make sure we're all on the same page here.
It's all right. It came out during the show. Easy to miss. It's the White Sox.
I mean, I keep thinking about what Carter Hawkins said to us at convention when we, you know, it's a great Cubs convention question of like, hey, who's the guy that no one's talking about? Who's the guy that could jump for you guys this year? First name he said it instantly, was Miguel Amaya. So if that's a spot where they're going to get production that is maybe not being expected, I'll trust the good organization that's willing to put the expectations on the kid at the premium position.
I hear you. So around the diamond now.
So we have no agreement on catcher? Or who am I writing into this line?
No, I'm comfortable with Yan Gomes.
With Yan Gomes.
Yeah.
Yan Gomes is the best of the bunch and the most accomplished of the bunch.
And I'm with Danny on Amaya.
Because we're trying to say who's going to have the best season this year, not who has accomplished the most in their career.
Mm-hmm.
Right? That's the goal?
Yan Gomes is 73. He's had more time to accomplish more.
Yeah, I mean, so I would vote Amaya, but because that's what we're doing, right? We're not doing who's done the most. We're doing who's going to have the best year at the position.
So we have 2 Amayas and 2 Gomeses.
All right, yeah. Who do you want me to call? Phone a friend. Who do you want me to call? You guys move on.
Okay.
I'll find someone to call, and
Barry
we'll have a tiebreaker.
Bruce Levin.
Benetti.
No.
Barry Rosner.
Barry Rosner?
Barry Rosner hasn't watched a baseball game in 3 years.
Which is why we call him.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah,
he's
we'll
completely
get a
bailed.
Pick from him too.
Yeah, he'll give you a golf. He'll give you a golf thought. It's 100% correct.
All right.
Ask how his daughters are doing.
All right.
Good talk.
Okay.
So Gomes or Amaya? Okay. You want to do starting pitchers? This is where I'm going to shock you, because I've got a White Sox pitcher that I'm putting in this rotation. I'm so excited about.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good. I mean,
I only have one.
Yeah. Right. So, I mean, I don't find it to be that shocking.
Should have done this 2 weeks ago. Have another one in there.
Yeah, Dylan Cease would have made
the
team.
Definitely. Yeah, but the point is to do it as close to opening day as possible, buddy.
All right, so we need 5 pitchers.
All right, so Steele is in.
Yeah.
He's our opening day starter. We're in agreement?
I think so, yes.
Okay, good.
Kyle Hendricks?
I mean, he would not be the second name for the Cubs. I would not expect Kyle Hendricks to have the second best season of Cubs pitchers.
I think it's plausible. Where would you go for the 2? Shota?
Probably Shota. But right now I want to go to Barry Rosner. On the hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois.
Hey, buddy.
Hi, Barry.
Hi, guys. What's going on?
We're trying to build a White Sox and Cubs like mashup roster for this year.
It's an original idea, don't you think?
Yeah.
Day before opening day, try to put this together. This is the state of radio.
And so we figured. Go ahead.
I remember this from like 1982.
Yep, absolutely. That's why we kept getting these checks.
How did Joust do it then? You know.
Yeah, big fights between Jerome Holtzman, Joust, and probably Van Dyke and Goddard would be my guess.
Rest in peace to Dave Van Dyke as well. T- Tough news.
Yeah, and Goddard, I think, a year or two ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true.
Way to bring the room down.
That's why we didn't. That's why we didn't call them. We called you instead.
So we.
Yeah. Well, I don't know what. I don't know what made you think I'd still be here, but yeah, I am.
So yeah, there was a debate at who our catcher should be. Two people voted for Yan Gomes. Two people voted for Miguel Amaya. Shane said, "Who should we call to be the tiebreaker?" Originally, we thought of a current baseball reporter, but then we thought it'd be funnier to annoy you. So, who should be our Chicago catcher, Yan Gomes or Miguel Amaya?
Well, you're right. You're definitely annoying me. I've never heard of Amaya. Who does he play for?
He's also on the Cubs.
Folks, Barry Rosner is one of the most knowledgeable baseball humans I've ever dealt with. And we correctly guess. You haven't watched a game in what, 3 years? 2 years?
Three years. Amaya, I've never heard of. Yan Gomes, he used to be on Cleveland, right?
Oh, very good.
Yeah, good for you.
Well done.
Yeah, that's all I know. Does that answer your question?
Yep.
All right. Yeah, Yan Gomes, and who's going to win the Masters?
I hate to say it. It's such a ridiculous answer, but, I mean, if Scottie Scheffler putts, he's 10 strokes better than everyone he's playing against right now. It's stupid how good he is. His irons are like Tiger in his heyday. It's really scary right now. I wish I had something interesting to tell you, Danny, but he's so much better than everyone else. If he putts average, not good, if he putts average, he's 10 shots better than everyone he's playing against.
Yeah, it's absolutely insane to watch. Barry, you're the goods. Thank you for answering the call, sir.
See you, boys.
All right. That's Barry Rosner.
You know, that's the best baseball thought he's had in 3 years.
Yan Gomes played on Cleveland.
Yep, nailed it.
All right, so are we not factoring in that he thinks it's Omar Omaya, the Irishman?
Paddy Omaya. Love that guy.
Okay.
Oh, God. So Gomes wins with the Rosner tiebreaker.
All right. I get it. Track record. Trust.
Yeah.
I'm arguing with the logic, you know? Yeah, and he did play for Cleveland. I wonder if Barry knows that they're the Guardians now. Don't get him started.
He might not. He legit might not know.
Okay.
Good for him.
So Justin Steele.
Yeah.
Shota. I mean, so you think Hendricks is going to have the second best season of any Cubs starting pitcher? That would make me very happy.
Yeah, maybe Shota. They'd be right there. Well, so anyway, I would take Steele, Hendricks, Shota, and Jordan Wicks. I'm a big believer in Jordan Wicks.
Over Tyone.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. Because then I get to my White Sox player that I would take. Folks, Eric Fetty is going to have a good year. That's going to be the best pitcher on this White Sox team over the course of 2024. Eric Fetty went to Korea and completely changed what he used to do in Washington, added a sweeper, a split changeup, got a better feel for the sinker, dominated in Korea, 20-6 record with a 2 ERA, 209 Ks and 180 innings. And he's got the same teacher with his workout partner, Logan Webb of the San Francisco Giants. His teacher is Brian Bannister. This is why they went out and got Eric Fetty. And I believe Eric Fetty, who's starting the year hurt, so I guess he can't be on our team, technically.
I mean, yeah, Tyone's hurt too, right?
Yeah. But yeah. I'm a big...
Skip a start.
Yeah, right. We'll skip one start. You know, we can go six-man if we want. You know, you want Garrett Crochet as your opener day starter? Give that up for Mully. But yeah, give me Eric Fetty in the rotation. All opposed?
I think I'd take the Cubs five.
Yeah, this is making me incredibly sad because the White Sox, always you could count on them having a solid rotation of known guys.
Ooh, not anymore.
And now we're talking about Imanaga, who hasn't pitched one ball in anger, as Mac would say, in the major leagues, and we're going to put him number two in the rotation. Hate it.
I mean, I have the projections up on Fan. Mike Soroka, excuse me, is number one. There was a Soroka.
Soroka and Soroka.
Soroka. Garrett Crochet is two. Drew Thorpe is three. And Eric Fetty is four.
Wow.
For White Sox projected war.
Drew Thorpe is in the minors. They don't even have Chris Flexen and Nick Nastrini. Nastrini, who they got from the Dodgers.
Nastrini is five and Flexen is six.
Yeah. In terms of
projected,
If Thorpe were here, I just don't know when Thorpe is gonna come up. But I'm a big fan of Drew Thorpe. He's the one with the wipeout changeup.
But I think I would take Steele, Imanaga, Hendricks, Wicks, Tyone, and just take the Cubs starting five.
Yeah, I understand.
Over any White Sox starting pitcher.
And I would take Fetty over Tyone right now.
I think
just because I'm high on Fetty.
And I think you'll feel differently tomorrow. I think Garrett Crochet is going to show people something tomorrow.
Well, Crochet has tremendous stuff, and it's just a question of whether he can really be a starter, which he hasn't done since like he was a sophomore in college.
I mean, you saw in spring training and in Shohei's first at bat what he did to Shohei, right? I would absolutely bet on Garrett Crochet to continue that.
I'd like Garrett Crochet in my bullpen. I said bet right now. Oh, bet. I get it.
Yikes.
All right, who's the closer?
Barry.
Not anyone on the White Sox.
Adbert.
Yeah.
Adbert, I'm intrigued by Kopech. But you know, yeah, Adbert is
a
closer.
Do you want to go through here and like we could do some bullpen, but also just like some guys that would actually help the Cubs?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like, we need four bench players. We need four bench players here.
All right.
And maybe one or two bullpen people. But yeah, there's some White Sox that would absolutely help the Cubs who have lost their spots.
I would hope so. They're a Major League Baseball team.
Are they?
I would hope so.
Yeah, they are.
It's Parkins and Spiegel on the score.
The Parkins and Spiegel Show.
Honored to be on their show earlier today. Danny and Matt do an excellent job interviewing people.
Afternoons on the score.
The White Sox, they're one of the key sports franchises in the city.
It is quite an endorsement from Kevin Warren. We'll talk to Nico Horner in an hour. There were some big crack slippers yesterday, especially from Matt Eberflus that we didn't get to. You'll hear those coming up at 5 o'clock. But as we build this team.
Combo platter team.
Luis Robert in center. Ian Happ in left. Saya in right. Bellinger is the first baseman for the All-Chicago team 2024. Nico Horner at second. Dansby Swanson at short. Yoan Moncada at third. Eloy is the DH. Yan Gomes, tiebreaker, going to Barry Rosner, is the catcher. We did not reach an agreement on the five starting pitchers, but I'll defer to the host of Hit and Run, and we can put Eric Fetty in there with Steele, Shota, Hendricks, Wicks. Steele, Shota, Hendricks, Wicks, and Fetty.
Well, why don't we go ahead and put those extra starters in the bullpen? Tyone and Crochet, give yourself those arms.
Yeah, sure.
And
so Tyone, Crochet.
Yep.
Adbert. Neris.
Hector Neris, for sure, I would say.
Yeah.
Yep. And then it gets interesting. There's going to be some arms that we'll check out. This kid, Steven Wilson, who the White Sox got from the Padres in the Dylan Cease trade, may end up being somebody who impresses the hell out of you. Then they flip him at the deadline. Jordan Leisure, the other Dodger they got as part of the Lance Lynn stuff, to the Dodgers, along with Nastrini. Jordan Leisure might impress you.
I mean, Ben Brown, we haven't said. Julian Merriweather, we haven't said. Yeah. Javier Assad, we haven't said.
Put Merriweather on the team.
Yeah, right.
And Assad. Because Assad, the thing about Assad is that he was exactly the same guy as a bullpen piece that he was as a starter. Just freaking remarkable in that way. Like, exactly the same numbers. Just incredibly valuable. Every team needs a guy like Javier Assad.
So that's 9 starters, obviously. 5 pitchers is 14. Then Tyone is 15. Crochet, 16. Mm-hmm. Adbert, 17. Neris, 18. Assad, 19. Merriweather, 20.
Need a lefty. Who's a lefty in the Tanner Banks? What about Banks?
Smiley?
Luke Little? Yeah, probably Smiley. I'd say Smiley.
Luke, we'll go Luke Little.
Really?
You know why. Former Traverse City Pits bitter.
There it is.
There it is.
All right, Luke Little.
White Sox fans have given you Luke Little.
Yeah, all right. So 4 bench guys?
Yeah. Did you get to 20? Or 20,
I got 21? To 21, yeah.
Okay.
And I know it's 26. So Morrell's on the bench.
Yeah.
For sure.
So we can do 5 bench guys then. Look at that. We're loaded with bench guys.
So
yeah.
Morrell's on the bench.
Morrell's on the bench. I would argue Andrew Vaughn on the bench.
Yep.
Andrew Vaughn on the bench. I think you'd like him better than Garrett Cooper, who has more power, but Vaughn is a better hitter. I would put Andrew Vaughn on the bench.
Okay.
So and I always wonder, what happened to Gary Cooper to strong, silent type.
Made the team. That's what happened.
Benintendi?
Yep.
Yeah, I think I like Benintendi on my bench better than Vaughn.
Well, but you need... Well, I guess Vaughn, you're talking about Vaughn or Wisdom, because Wisdom could play first and third.
Well, in that case.
And has more pop. So I could see you arguing that.
You don't think you just want like a good at bat off the bench? Benintendi has no place on this team with 26. The guy's signed the biggest contract in White Sox history, and he can't make a 26-man roster in this town?
I think he'll bounce back this year. But, you know, if you're looking for tools and traits off the bench for you,
yeah,
I like that better.
Yeah,
better. Andrew Vaughn, like, it's like, oh, at least he's got a bat, does he?
Okay, so who's our bench now?
So Tanny wants to take Vaughn off,
yeah,
but...
We can you guys do that. Can
we
have
can...
Vaughn. That's fine.
No, Morrell, we can do that for now.
Vaughn. I mean, PCA, defense and base running.
He's not on the roster.
I mean, I don't know. One of the fastest dudes in the game can't be on our bench.
I mean, Horner. Oh no, we took him for second. Sorry.
Yeah, we took Nico for second.
Nicky Lopez on the brain.
Yeah. As one would.
As one does.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Bush.
You might want Michael Bush in that lefty power. Bush. Yeah. Over Vaughn. Yeah, give you an extra lefty with Pop on the bench. Yeah, so Morrell, Benintendi, Bush. How about Wisdom?
How about Talkman, if we're going last year? How about Talkman? Tanny calls him the Palatine Pounder.
I don't know. Benintendi and Talkman is some combo overkill. Although you trust Talkman in center. But you got Bellinger as your backup in center on this team. That's the beauty of the roster. The flexibility.
And Morrell. Morrell can play center, too.
Yeah, in a pinch. I think Benintendi over Talkman. So Morrell, Benintendi, Bush, and Wisdom. We missing any White Sox? I'm sorry, Paul DeJong, but I'm just not that interested.
Well, anyone in our farm system, Shane, our good old farm system, if Dan's going to want to have PCA who's not on the roster?
Colson Montgomery?
Yeah, I mean, if we expand to the 40-man, then I think the White Sox have more promise at the position player level than the Cubs do
hard,
at the position.
Yeah. Hard disagree.
Disagree?
Hard disagree.
Okay, Matt, well, I have a baseball show on the weekend, so...
Matt Shaw is an absolute beast. Owen Casey is when you expand that. Mervis would be on a lot of rosters after what he showed in the spring.
I'm trying to win ball games here. These are all lottery tickets.
What did Matt
Mervis
show last year?
Yeah, not
he showed
a lot.
That he can't play baseball.
That's why he's not...
He showed that he's really good signing shirts at Obvious Shirts, PCA, but no good at baseball.
Yeah. No, Shaw and Casey, you know, big time over Ramos, and I'll give you Montgomery because it's shortstop. But boy, Matt Shaw's an absolute beast. We need the other catcher, so we'll take the second Cubs catcher,
Miguel Omaya, from Cork County.
Oh Jesus!
Oh Jesus, Mary and Joseph, Miguel Omaya here. Great at blocking the curveball.
Don't say the things we usually say.
Oh, Jesus, man. Joseph, you bloody...
The Panamanian. The Irish Panamanian, Miguel Omaya.
Jesus.
Miguel Omaya.
He's a little fat boy over there.
It's de-escalated quickly.
I like it. It's where it should be. We're debating the 24, the backup catcher on our fake Cubs Sox team.
Uh-huh.
I like it.
So how many White Sox we got? Because we're done with the bench now, right? We got Amaya out there.
Well, I've only written in Morrell, Benintendi, Bush, and Amaya. Did we?
Morrell, Benintendi, Bush. Andrew Vaughn on the team.
Let's get through this because we got the guys from WFAN here. They've got their fake New York team, and we're going to battle it out here.
Oh,
we're going to play out some games, simulate some games here.
That's right. And then the KNBR guys are here with their entire Giants team, and Brent Rooker made the bench. For their team.
This is a guy who did a fantasy draft last night, if he can now name an A.
Yeah, well, I got two. Mason Miller in that bullpen. You want him. And we're done with naming A's. Matt Spiegel, if you don't stop naming A's. Harlem Pepper, if you don't stop naming A's. Coming back there.
Yeah, we got some, you know, we don't have a lot of White Sox.
All right, so how many wins does this team have?
88,
89?
No.
83.
Over.
More than that.
Over. This is a 95-win team.
It's 92, 92 and a half. I'd set the over-under on this team at 92 and a half.
If you combine two Major League Baseball teams and one of them is by itself, the Cubs are supposed to be an 86-ish win team. You're saying that adding Luis Robert, Yoan Moncada, Eloy, Crochet, Fetty, Benintendi, Vaughn to the Cubs.
It's a good team.
Doesn't get him into the 90s?
Yeah,
it does.
I don't know. Shane, Vaughn or Wisdom there as your last guy off the bench? Wisdom gives you a lot more defensive flexibility on the infield.
I still think it's Vaughn. I do.
I guess Vaughn could play corner outfield. We did learn that over the past couple years. or excuse me, Vaughn will take the assignment of playing corner outfield.
Wait, so you
that was,
like...
That was a repressed memory. I didn't want to
sorry
revisit.
Sorry about speaking. That.
Then I started thinking about him like dude, at third base a little bit.
Right field. They put Andrew Vaughn and Gavin Sheets out there as essentially a platoon in right field.
In their World Series window.
I had completely wiped from my memory that Andrew Vaughn played left field.
Left and right. Right.
Completely wiped it from my memory.
Outrageous. Egregious. Disgusting.
Preposterous.
Yes. Insulting. Insulting.
That's where Ichiro played.
Yeah.
Larry Walker. Oh, yeah. Vlad Guerrero.
Jesse Barfield.
Roberto Clemente's position.
Look at that.
Went to Andrew Vaughn.
Oh, Raul Mondesi. Oh, Pep, if you don't stop naming right fielders.
Jermaine Dye.
Sammy Sosa.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Wow.
Dominic Fletcher.
They did. They put him out there. It's even more interesting than that. All right, well, this has been a good exercise. This
is, yeah, the White Sox, man, are not going to be good, huh?
Would a horse be better in right field than Gavin Sheets?
If he
very
fly.
Sweet man.
What horse? And how old is the horse? That's what I want to know. He
was born in January.
How the hell do you get a horse from Ireland to here and ready to race?
Well, it's even more interesting than that. They fly them. They put them in a plane.
Yeah, that's not more interesting. Fact check, that's
every
not.
Every time I play it, I'm hoping it gets more interesting.
I'm not.
Not yet.
It does not.
That's kind it's of one stuff of those you clips you hear a better thing every
that's
time.
That's what you get on White Sox Weekly.
Connor's inflection.
Stop.
I love Connor.
Don't
I love Connor.
Don't do that.
I was hoping he was listening because he often is.
He frankly. Always is. I'm going to get a text in 10 seconds.
That's fine. I'll
I hate to blow up a spot, but this is the Superior Afternoon Show.
Everybody knows it.
Okay.
Except Nielsen.
It was the way to get
again,
here.
Again.
What? We will talk to Nico Horner.
Yeah, we will.
At 5:25. We'll hear from Matt Eberflus at 5. And there's a potential comedy tragedy that's about to occur. It's Parkinson Spiegel on The Score.
The Parkinson Spiegel Show.
Johnny B.
I'm riveted to The Score. It's the last bastion of talk radio because you can just have conversation and you can let people talk and get an opinion. You know, local radio, that's it.
Afternoons on The Score.
So, welcome back in, Parkinson Spiegel on The Score. We will not be talking about the potential comedic tragedy of Happy Gilmore 2 because we just received some real-life news that is far more significant to pass along, especially because so many of you have been scoreheads since the beginning, and we're all one big, sometimes dysfunctional family here. We just got word that longtime Score host and producer Tommy Williams has passed away.
T-Dub. Tommy Williams was just an incredibly kind and sweet guy. When I got to the Score in 94, late 94, early 95, I think he was a producer for North and Jiggets. He ended up hosting nights for a long time and then hosting overnights for a long time.
I mean, so I didn't ever meet him, but anyone who did overnights, that's a love of radio right there, and miss having live local overnights here, but that is a very significant piece of the history of the 24/7 50,000 watt blowtorch and like just the history of the Score, no matter what signal it was on.
Mm-hmm.
Once you were live and local around the clock, that's a huge deal.
Tommy was a Northwest Indiana guy and ended up working in Northwest Indiana for decades after his Score time. Voice of the Gary Railcats, and I think did a lot of other kind of sports broadcasting things locally over there.
Yeah, I mean, I'm reading from Lakeshore Public Media right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, PA announcing work and local work, WLTH in Gary, over a decade at the Score, the Gary South Shore Railcats. He was the PA announcer for, PBS, he did the Prep Sports Report, so did a lot of high school sports in the
good
region
for him,
as well.
And carving out a long sports broadcasting life there, where he was from and where he was living when he was working over at 4949 West Belmont. It's a huge voice. Big, booming, resonant voice, and a huge man and a huge presence, and just I texted my friend Jason Griffin, who used to be the producer for Tommy. And Jason Griffin went on to be the voice of the Toledo Mudhens for a number of years and, like, was an aspiring talk show host. He and I did shows together on the weekends. But he was Tommy's producer, and I asked him for a memory or two, and he just texted me this. He said, Tommy was so damn kind, would give me hugs at the end of every show. A legend. And always gave me a chance to talk on the air as a 24-year-old producer, which was pretty special. I remember one time he was so excited that I booked Harold Baines on the show that he headbutted the studio door with happiness. And when I looked at him as we were rolling the open, a stream of blood was still rolling down his face. And he was laughing through the stream of blood, so excited to talk to Harold Baines. And he said, the show must go on, partner, because Tommy called everybody partner.
Hello, partner.
There.
Hey.
Look at that.
How about that?
Is that Tommy's voice?
Sounds like Norm. Sounds like Norm shouting him out. Norm Van Leer saying it, but that was like the thing on the show. I love when you call me big partner.
Yeah.
Hello, partner.
Yeah, that might be Norm talking to Tommy Williams.
I was going through my files trying to find some of that stuff. That's all I could find for now. But yeah, I listened a lot. And I just remember him, like, he would always obsess about Allison Payne. Remember that?
He was deeply in love.
The former WGN anchor.
Yes.
Yeah, that was a fun bit that they had, and I think they eventually got her on.
Oh, they did get her on. Yeah. I think North, because Allison Payne used to go on with North and Jiggets all the time, so I think they got her on with Tommy one night, yes.
That's amazing.
Allison Payne.
That is classic. That's a classic score move, right? Oh, you got a fantasy for somebody? Let's get them
we'll
on.
We'll confront you with them. Absolutely.
Who did we do that with for Zawoski? Lydia Loveless.
Yes.
The singer.
He ended up thanking us, even though in the moment I think he wanted to kill us. I think he wanted to headbutt us through the glass.
Obliterated with embarrassment.
Yeah.
100%.
Then he ended up, like, as her guest, going to a show and being backstage and developing some sort of connection with someone on the record label. And so that worked out.
Texter's getting in. I love it when you call me big partner. Absolutely.
That's amazing.
Another one says, T-Dub was my earliest score memory. And a frequent texter says, oh, this is terrible. I would call in overnights. He would call me MC Paul Corrupt. Great guy, great voice, a true pro. Absolutely.
I mean, the overnight radio companion is a very special thing for the Insomniacs, the Third Shifters, and the entire operation. So that's, I mean, obviously we heard that when Les passed away, right? How many people were missing him and felt like they had a huge void given the time slot.
I remember one time I was working late after producing the McNeil and Boers show, and I walked in to the control room, and Jason Griffin was producing Tommy. And they had invented a character named Yardbird, right? And Jason was Yardbird, and it was his voice, but, like, sped up on a reel-to-reel machine. And Tommy was just setting it up, and Jason was playing it. It was, like, really, you know, fun, loose, playful nighttime radio.
That's great.
That you just never knew what the hell was going
to
happen.
It was an era, like, when you were listening to some of these guys on the score on nights or on weekends, like, these guys didn't largely... like, didn't go to school or train to be sports radio personalities.
There wasn't that much of it.
Because there wasn't something to strive for because the medium didn't exist. So you got all these guys with all types of personalities and fitting them all together here in one stew at the score. Like, that's what made me a score fan, listening to guys like Tommy and Hood back in the day. You know what I mean? Like, and then you guys all the time speaks, you know? Like,
yeah, so. Man. I mean, like, Hood and Riles and Hood and Matt Fishman and
Lawrence,
me and Jason
Zampillo.
And then Lawrence and Dan Zampillo. And it's like, all those... That training ground that was score nights and overnights and weekends. I just got a text from somebody who listened to a lot of his football games, and Tommy would go, "Time to move the chains," after a hard-fought gain on a running play while doing high school football. So, you know, he lived with his mom a long time and just loved his family, very, very religious, very... You know, and at the score, when the debauchery was everywhere around you.
Yeah, I'm reading this thing from, again, Lakeshore Public Media. I was wondering how a deeply religious, you know, man would have fit in with that culture back then.
Yeah, it was a challenge.
I believe it.
You'd edit yourself. Yeah,
sure.
I remember.
Pay respect.
I remember hosts editing themselves and people editing themselves when Tommy was around, but... Man, I love that image that Jason Griffin shared of giving his producer a hug at the end of every show. Let's start doing that.
I was just thinking about that. Right? Shane, how would you feel?
I'll take Shane, and you
start
can have Tanny.
Shane and I do it. You guys are welcome to join, you know?
Okay, group hug.
You guys always leave and...
Sorry, go home to our kids.
Sorry about that.
Well, are you going home to hug them?
Yeah.
We got to get us.
You got a maximum amount of hugs you can give out during the day?
I do. I have a hug counter.
Yeah, here's the thing. I don't really like to be touched. So if you could avoid hugging me at the end of the show, that would be great. It's not anything against you guys. I'm not a fan.
So let's get this straight. You don't like your birthday. That was yesterday. Happy birthday again, one time.
Okay. Don't have to bring up that again.
Okay, and you don't like getting hugged.
I don't like to be touched, really.
It's tough. Ooh, yeah, it's tough, yeah. Man. I don't know what to do about all that.
All right.
Yeah.
All right. Well,
man. What is your love language, Shane?
Shutting
up and breaking on time?
The clock.
I like to be touched in a relationship.
Oh.
Like, if I'm in a relationship.
Well, so we're not in a relationship?
Yeah,
we're
a family. Not romantic.
Hell, you're in or you're out. What's going on here?
Yeah. Are you on the team?
Mixed signals.
For next year.
He's on the team for next year.
Well,
oh, man.
RIP to Tommy Williams.
Absolutely.
Over a decade here at The Score, host and producer.
Super kind, warm, and talented, fun man, and a lovely part of Score history. So, yeah, rest in peace.
We will hear from Matt Eberflus, and in 30 minutes, Nico Horner next on The Score.